one more emergency item before we lose Commissioner Fish, I think, and that's 274.
Amend contract with G4S Secure Solutions USA Inc. to increase contract by $706,212 to provide for uniform security officer services.
Kita, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Robert Kita, Facility Services.
We can't hear you.
A little closer there, Bob.
Okay, Bob Kita, Facility Services Manager. Today, I'm before you to request a addition of 2 months to the current G4S contract. We're in the process of RFP process to award a new contract to security. The RFPs have been received. We have 7 responders, and we'll begin the evaluation process. We're asking for 2 more months on the G4S contract to assure a smooth transition into the new contract to make sure that we're able to cover everything that we need to in the security business. In addition to that, we had anticipated significant cuts to security last year, and in anticipation of that, we had reduced the contract, which has put us in a bit of a deficit right now. So we have 2 components that actually make up the $706,000, or 2 main components, which is the 2-month extension and the deficit due to the anticipation of the reduced services. We are still reducing the services, but we've phased them in and implemented them over the past 9 months, and we still have a couple more to get in place. At the completion of the reduction services, we will be actually approximately $6,000 less a week with all the implemented services reductions. There's also about a $22,000 increase that was due to extra services that were requested. We had the garage door at Portland Building was damaged where we couldn't secure the garage. We had to have night security for approximately a month while we were dealing with the those issues. We've had the power outage, the ice storms, all these other things that have required us to have additional services during those times. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does it include payment for the staff who were not able to work during the power outage because the buildings were closed?
Actually, for us, in our business, we had more staff because of the power outage.
You had different staff, like so the janitorial staff, the custodians were not able to work. I know the security
right,
staff did.
Yes.
So with those staff who were not able to work, are they getting compensated?
Commissioner, as far as I know, all the security staff worked. Plus, as far as the janitorial, that was handled separately, and yes, we have gotten taken
that. That has been done. Great, thank you. And then my second question is, what level of funding are you expecting the next request for proposal? What annual funding would be expected?
Well, I don't have the total. The ordinance we came before to permission go out had us at about $1 million a year. And so that's a significant reduction of where we are now. We're about $1.6 million, I believe, right now. And as I indicated, just in these last changes that we're making, we'll be eliminating about $6,000 worth per week of services.
And what people will be eliminated? What additional cuts are being made?
A big part of it is actually due to the Columbia or the wastewater treatment plant construction finishing up and the reduction of security out there, the completion of the ECC construction and elimination of security out there. We're going from over 2 positions down to 1 position at Columbia Wastewater. It's about 4 or 5 positions down to 1 position. In City Hall, we'll be losing the evening officer at the desk. And at the Portland Building, I can't remember, there is a little shift in the work there that will be result in reduction also.
Thank you. And then I've heard some concerns about the fitness test that the current folks are being asked to take. Is the council going to be able to weigh in on the components of that?
The fitness test is part of the new contract that's going to be awarded. It was presented back in July as part of this contract, but that's part of why we deferred the implementation of the fitness standard and kept some of the positions that we kept so that we can actually do this as a contract change rather than implement in with the existing vendor.
So I've seen the elements of the fitness contract, and it doesn't seem to be equitable in terms of requiring some activities such as lifting the same for men and women, for a start. and then some of the activities don't seem to be related to the work of a security officer. So I'm wondering when or if the council gets to weigh in on what should be required. After all, we do have a long history, or a recent history, with the Police Bureau of a fitness test not being as stringent as we were expecting it to be. In this particular case, it's more stringent in some ways than I would like it to be.
We haven't made an accommodation for the fitness test to be reviewed by council. We can certainly do that. It has gone out into the RFP. The responders have responded with that information in there. The fitness test, you know, is partially related to one, having a apples-to-apples comparison for all the vendors to be. The language for a performance standard is not new language. That was in the current contract as well as what's in the new. That hasn't changed. What changed was we required the vendor to provide a test to meet that standard. And the question that keeps coming up is, well, what is that test and how can we all bid on the same thing? So we created a test based on what we felt was a reasonable fitness standard for the employees. And when I say that, it is more important now than it was before, because when we had additional security backing themselves up, we had the ability to have somebody, you know, provide support. But as we've made these reductions, each employee, each contracted employee, needs to be able to stand for themselves and for their own safety. And so we want to make sure that everybody is able to perform at this level. And it's not a very difficult test, but it certainly, I can understand, you know, where we can see there could be some inequities.
Can I?
Some of the lifting, I think, is security staff don't generally have to lift heavy weights. So
can I? And I appreciate that Commissioner Fritz has raised this, because I asked my chief of staff to drill down. And I too share the concern. And let me give you an example, Mr. Keita, of one of the standards that's in the RFP. A security guard needs to be able to, quote, horizontally transfer 68 pounds of force on a sled at a distance of 54 feet in 30 seconds. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know whether that's a reasonable physical requirement. I don't know whether that has a disparate impact on women. I don't know whether that's a best practice drawn from other cities. I don't know how that compares with the Fire Bureau and its training. And I'm not even sure, frankly, the utility of testing 68 pounds on a sled at a distance of 54 feet in 30 seconds, although I appreciate that it's a standard someone has formulated. And I do have to leave in a couple minutes. So, Mayor, on this, Mr. Keita has said it's been baked into the RFP, but I share Commissioner Fritz's concern that we may be setting up standards that prevent people from competing for these jobs for reasons that have nothing to do with whether they can perform the essential functions of the job. And I'm not even prepared to comment because I don't have enough information. I don't feel qualified to make that judgment. But I would hate for us to build in standards that are where the bar is too high, or we're setting qualifications that are not essential to the job that's being done and have some negative impact on potentially qualified candidates. So I think the issue has now been framed. I understand it's in the RFP, but it may be something I would urge that, as a follow-up to today, which is simply a request for an extension, that we get a council briefing, either in writing or in a subsequent hearing, on the questions that have been framed. So what does the contract require? Where did these physical requirements come from? To the extent they are considered best practices, where did you find those? Is there a national security industry accreditation, or did you look at another city? And then have we considered whether any of them are absolute barriers to classes of applicants who otherwise might be qualified? And secondarily, can we honestly say that being able to horizontally transfer 68 pounds of force on a sled at a distance of 54 feet in 30 seconds is an essential requirement for this job? I don't know, but I would like to have that information before we ratify any action. And it may be the council will want to revisit that so we're not arbitrarily limiting the pool of qualified applicants.
Yeah, I'm fine with all those requests, but let's make sure that I understand, that we all understand where we are here, and that is those were attached to a request for proposals. They're not yet attached to a contract. We can request things in proposals. Harry's standing by to correct me if I'm wrong. We can request things in proposals that we then modify in the contract itself when we negotiate a contract. And they are not attached to the item before us today, right? So the item before us today is a simple extension, but the question's on the table about what we will actually put in the next contract.
And in fairness, because Mr. Keita has previewed for us this as an extension in anticipation of something coming back, I think it's only fair we give him, we share with him concerns we have about any conditions of the RFP so that we can have a chance to weigh in. Because I'm not yet comfortable or persuaded that some of these requirements are necessary or essential, and I'm open to hearing the basis for the argument.
Yep.
I don't believe the council has enough information to make that judgment.
I'll be happy to meet with each of you if you like and go over that information.
All right, so more follow-up on those questions. Where do these standards come from?
Yes.
What do we think how they're going to work out in practice? Harry?
Well, Mayor, just one other companion piece is we've heard that the Columbia Wastewater Treatment Facility is going to be reduced to one security person. This council has invested a significant amount of money in a security perimeter. In fact, a lot of the additional costs of the new building there were invested in creating barriers so that billions of dollars of sensitive infrastructure was not vulnerable to someone with some bad actor who wanted to take out that infrastructure. So I want to follow up on this to make sure we do have adequate security there, because it is without building a big record here, it is a sensitive site that we maintain, and we have made investments in security around the perimeter, and I want to make sure we have an adequate level of security force there to protect billions of dollars of infrastructure.
Harry, you look like you wanted
Mr. Mayor,
to say something.
Members of the council, I'm Harry Auerbach from the city attorney's office. I just wanted to return to a question Commissioner Fritz raised about paying for the PHC custodians who missed time during the power outage. Make sure that you have correct information about that. We are in the process of negotiating an amendment with PHC's contract to have that payment happen. Because it's a qualified rehabilitative facility contract, we have to get the state to sign off on it. My understanding is it's now at the state awaiting their action. And if we get their approval, we will then be able to effectuate that amendment and get those janitors paid.
Thank you for that information and for gently reminding me that that's a different contract than this one for security.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I apologize. I thought there was further along than this. Yes.
Okay. Other questions for Bob? Thanks very much. I think we have some people signed up to testify on this.
Yes, we have five people. The first two, please, coming up are Charles Johnson and Barry Joe Stoll.
Right.
Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. Good morning again. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and this microphone is working great today. It's got a lot of reverb. I think this issue is going to be adequately covered. You can see behind us to the stage, that side, are some people who are also concerned about security. I don't know what they're going to say. It's just nice to see them here. The main thing I want to say is actually, unfortunately, you're not doing it right. The only good news is that the $12 million contract with G4S is coming to an end, that you have opened that up, so you are trying to do it better. I think you know that contracts are problematic. There's this little thing going on called United States of America versus City of Portland, and the contract you have with your police department has been a problem. We can't totally get around that, but my main thought is that really the city needs to look at employing more people directly to do facility services security type work, whether or not they push a sled of 68 pounds in 30 seconds. Some of our fellow taxpayers would encourage you to farm out and farm out and farm out work. But actually, a lot of times it doesn't work out so great. So I want you to, even though you've got a new contract proposal coming up where you hopefully will not use G4S, I want you to look at enhancing department budgets so that the Water Bureau, which I hope is going to stay with the city, will be able to not contract out, but to just have an adequate staff of security personnel who have good living wage jobs. You might also look at the PHC can do some of this. Sometimes the security guard is just a glorified doorman. Other times it's a great armed person like Mr. Wood over here. Over the next few budget cycles, I hope you'll have a real serious discussion about less outsourcing to security and more hiring of good people like these folks right here as full-time city staff providing a service that you think is important enough to transfer $12 million to G4S, who is not really the best people to have it. Thank you.
Thanks. Barry, welcome.
The question you're really going to have to ask yourselves is if you feel safe. I have to ask myself that. On July 17, 2012, not so long ago that it's not subject of litigation in the federal court, 6:10 p.m., Troy Anthony Thompson approached. I had a restraining order against him under the Elderly Persons and Persons with Disabilities Abuse Prevention Act. That was issued by Judge Loy a couple doors down here in October 2011. I pressed the intercom. Sherry Prince for G4S was on staff. I asked that she call 911 because Troy Thompson was present in violating the restraining order. The responding police officers included Officer Laura Wiley, who knew that I was a protected party under the restraining order. But she didn't know that that's what the matter was, because she was met at the curb out here by Sherry Prince, by G4S, that says, I don't know what this is about, but he's over there and refuses to leave. Regarding me, sitting about right downstairs from where I am now, waiting for the police to respond. Now, Sergeant Georgioff, who knew that I'd been right about downstairs a week or so earlier when I was attacked out in front of City Hall, and I was being monitored by the Portland Fire Bureau because my pulse was accelerated, he came to me where I was sitting. He says, come on, you're under arrest. I said, why? I have a restraining order against him. He says, yes, but it doesn't matter when you're somewhere you're not supposed to be. Well, July 17, 2012, Troy Anthony Thompson had a warrant for his arrest. His picture was posted at Sherry Prince's G4S security guard security desk because he was excluded from City Hall. He was present and violating a restraining order, and I got arrested and he got let go. Sherry Prince testified in court that when I was approached by the Portland police, I sat down. Are you going to have these incompetent, hallucinatory people protecting you? You certainly don't have them protecting me.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
The next three are Nicole Knutson, Linda Sporer, and Philip Chan.
Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales, Commissioner. My name is Nicole Knutson, and I'm a strategic researcher with the Service Employees International Union, Local 49. We represent over 10,000 members in Oregon and Southwest Washington, including 600 security officers in the Portland metro area. And that also includes the majority of private security officers in the Portland downtown commercial real estate market. And so I'm here today, along with our members, to discuss the city's current request for proposal for its private security services. And we do understand that today's agenda item is to extend the contract, but we do want to take this opportunity to encourage the city to continue to use a responsible union contractor. And also we'd like to share some concerns that we have about some of the components of the current RFP. So we greatly appreciate the city's prior commitment to using a union contractor for its private security services. It's particularly important, given this low-wage industry, that the city in the past has chosen a responsible contractor, one that has provided a path forward for officers and their families in terms of wages, health care, retirement, and a voice on the job. In turn, the city enjoys increased stability and security in city buildings, as union contractors experience lower turnover and a more stable workforce. We hope that the city continues this investment in good jobs in our community by continuing to use a union contractor for its private security services. We are troubled, however, by the inclusion in this RFP of the essential functions performance test, as this test prescribes physical fitness requirements that we believe are unreasonable in their current form. These fitness components are unrelated to a security officer's actual job duties, and we're greatly concerned that immediate implementation of this test will have a disproportionately adverse effect on aging officers, medically fragile officers, and officers that experience a disability. A security officer's job requirements in city buildings generally involve monitoring and observing and providing information to the public, along with traffic control. The RFP states that officers should not attempt to handle dangerous physical events, but rather are expected to call for police or other responders to handle such situations. Many officers threatened by the immediate implementation of the essential functions test have worked in city buildings for years, and their extensive experience and knowledge of these buildings is invaluable in ensuring the safety of city workers. Given this, the essential functions test, as currently designed, is not substantially related to a security officer's actual job requirements. Among a long list, the essential functions test mandates officers must be able to ascend 3 flights of stairs, lift 30 pounds vertically from 53 inches to 12 inches overhead, and horizontally transfer 68 pounds of force on a sled a distance of 54 feet.
Just go ahead and finish your paragraph, and then we've got the rest of your statement here. So,
As the officers with me today will attest, these requirements bear little relation to their actual duties of observing and alerting first responders in the event of an emergency.
Well, thank you very much, and we've got this. Thanks.
Okay.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Portland City Council and Mayor Charlie Hales. My name is Linda Spohr. I am a cancer survivor, a grandmother, a union member, and a G4S security officer. I am proud to say I have been keeping the City of Portland building safe and secure for close to 9 years. I am here today to urge you to continue to use the union security company to continue to provide security services for the City of Portland. I am also here today to tell you why the physical requirements as they now stand in the proposed upcoming contract are too extreme and don't apply to the work that we do and would unduly target older and female officers, resulting in the layoff of at least half of the current workforce. We are asking the city to partner with us on a solution to raising the performance standards. Why the city should use a union contractor. As many of you know, officers around the Portland area, after a 3-year campaign, organized and won our union. We organized in an effort to raise standards in the subcontracted security industry, which was plagued by low wages, low benefits, and high turnover. We won our first contract last May, and as a result, are on a path of improving standards for low-wage security officers. The majority of the buildings in downtown Portland are now secured by union security companies. We ask that the city continue to commit to a union security contractor to maintain those hard-won improvements. Physical requirements. The most important skill in my job are my eyes, my ears, and my ability to de-escalate situations verbally. We are often looked to as the first responders. We were there to watch, report, monitor, and call for assistance to first responders, and in some cases, when necessary, verbally de-escalate the situations. What we do not do in our job is get involved in physical altercations. In fact, we are trained to avoid them, and we do not sprint, tackle, or lift heavy items. In fact, that type of behavior would result in increased risk to us and tenants. Our ability to do our job relies on our knowledge of the building we work in and our relationship with hundreds of city employees who enter public buildings on a daily basis, our ability to think on our feet, and our knowledge for transient and homeless community. We also rely on our ability and skill to verbally de-escalate situations on the few occasions they occur. As many of you know, for over a year, there was an ongoing protest outside of City Hall to call attention to people who experience homelessness in our community. My workers and I knew each individual, if not by name, then by sight, and could know on a daily basis if someone needed extra supervision, and oftentimes could cool down hot tempers by conversation and the fact that we respected one another and knew one another. the proposed physical requirements in the new contract do not match what we do on a daily basis and do not relate to our job on the job requirements. These proposed requirements do not help us do a better job, do not make sense, and may be discriminatory. At least half of the current workforce would be laid off if the test in the current RFP were to be applied. That would mean officers with years of experience, knowledge, and know-how in these sites would lose their jobs. We want to partner with the city on finding a path to raising standards for officers that makes sense. We are some of the lowest paid City Portland employees. We only secured health care at the beginning of this year and are just starting to build a pathway out of poverty. We believe in raising standards for all officers. However, to expect a workforce that is just coming out of poverty, many of whom who have been uninsured until this year, to be in peak physical condition is shameful. If what the city is committed to is raising performance standards, we can support that. But what we cannot support is the way it is being rolled out. We want to sit down with the city and make a plan to raise standards together. I hope you and the fellow city council members listen to us today and hear us about what skills it actually takes to secure downtown buildings and partner with us on a path to a healthy and secure future for officers. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mayor Hills and the Portland City Council. My name is Philip Chan. I am currently serving as a member of the United States Army Reserve. As of this June, will be in for 10 years. I'm also a custom protection officer at G4S Security Solutions, contracted to TriMet. I have been with them for about 6 years. Mayor Hells, you may remember me from when you came out to the walk-a-day in our shoes. Offices all around Portland came together to form our union to raise standards in the security industry. I was proud to be part of that effort. While we have made improvements, we still have a long way to go. I hope that the City Council of the city will continue to invest in the union security company so that we can continue to raise their standards for all security personnel. There are a lot of things that we do on TriMet contract. We patrol the alignment by walking, riding bikes, driving, riding the trains. We observe and report, and we provide customer service and crowd control during large events. Sometimes we are the first responders, first ones to arrive on scene to assist to assess the situation if fire, medical, police, or police doesn't get there first. Sometimes we are even there when we aren't called, but we're there just in case. The challenges that we encounter ranges from as little as disputes, public disturbances, misconduct, and or looking out for people that police might be looking for, to the bigger things like criminal offenses, fights, and things that would require police, medical, or fire to respond to, or TriMet supervisor to arrive to the scene. There are a lot of things that we encounter, but it's a different thing every day. Sometimes we might not even get anything at all. I was surprised to learn about the new physical requirements that the city was trying to put into this new security contract. On our contract, we don't really have any type of physical requirements, but we are required to do physical labor, especially during large events, including the Starlight Parade and the Grand Floral. It doesn't make sense to me that the security officers contract to the City of Portland, some of the lowest paid people that are now being asked to meet physical requirements that do not relate to the work that they do on a daily basis. I would like to reconsider these physical requirements since it doesn't make any sense, and by enforcing them, would be a loss to the city as it could result in the losing several trained and experienced officers and the jobs of these dedicated people.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate your testimony. Thanks. Okay. We have anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. So this is an emergency ordinance on the contract extension. So let's take a roll call on that.
Fritz?
Thank you to Bob Keita and his team and for this good discussion. Thank you to the members of SEIU Local 49 for being here and waiting throughout the morning. These are important issues, and we want to make sure that we have security officers who are able to do the job, and also that we don't unfairly put barriers in the way of people who would otherwise be qualified. So I know that Bob Keita will work on that issue with the council in the interim, and I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for the testimony. It's been very illuminating. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
I also want to thank those who testified, and I also appreciate an opportunity to hear from Bob Keita about the relationship of the RFP requirements to the actual duties of the officers. So thank you very much. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, of course, I'll support the contract extension, but do want to thank you, SEIU, for, as usual, raising important issues for your members in a very constructive way, thoughtful testimony. So thanks for starting that dialogue, and that will be continued. Thanks. Aye.